Good morning, friends. My name is Dave, and I'm on the ministry team here. I want to say Merry Christmas to you. It certainly is that time of year. Merry Christmas. Perhaps we've never met. My personal information, as well as our entire team, is on our website. I'd love to hear from you at this time of year, or maybe even perhaps during one of our in-person activities or services. We would love to meet you. And again, Merry Christmas. This is the third Sunday of Advent, and we are considering today our human longing for joy. A few years ago, Julie and I received a gift. Actually, it was a gift from our now son-in-law, Ethan, a beautiful piece of art, an art that just simply says joy, a beautiful piece of art, joy. It's hung on our walls for years now, and I must say, every time I walk past the word joy, it stops me for reflection. I don't want to sing the blues today, but I would say, I would hope that we'd be honest, and in my honesty, I would say common sayings like joy to the world, joy in the world, joy within my world, joy within relationships, joy in my heart, joy in my head, are often gifts that are hard to find. And perhaps this is why one of that concerns or one of those concerns was on God's mind as he shared through angels on that first Christmas, this announcement. Announcement that is recorded in Luke chapter 2, which reads, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" Joy. It's right there. It's right there in plain sight. A well-known theologian once said, "The message of the angels do not reinforce our secular views of Christmas. Instead, they carry us deep into the minds and counsels of our great God." We have shared in the last two Church Connects, we can see the great message at Christmas is God sending his Son because everything was not all right or not all good on earth. Jesus' birth is a foretelling that things need to change, things can change, and that things are changing. And as we read on the forefront of God's mind was that people, his people, need to experience joy. In this announcement, the angels unwrap the gift of joy for us by identifying four insights, and let's discuss these four things. Number one, joy is founded upon an unchangeable truth rather than within the vast array of experiences we have and are asked to interpret every day. Let me explain. The verse says that angels delivered to them good news. News delivered for them and to them. And of course, it was news that was true. When our family lived in Victoria, I delivered the news. Let me tell you how that happened. I will, in a few moments, tell you a little more about a missions trip that I led to Uganda. My son was a part of it. And to help with the fundraising, my son took on a newspaper delivery job first thing in the morning. Upon receiving the assignment of that newspaper route, we contacted the Times Colonist and asked if we could have permission to let our customers know or let Lucas's customers know that one of the reasons he had taken this job on was to do some fundraising for a missions trip in 3 or 4 months where he would join others to serve orphans in Uganda. All the information was distributed to his clients. And right after that, he broke his ankle. He couldn't walk. So the invitation is out there. And so I decided to carry on delivering the newspapers on his behalf, knowing that perhaps that invitation was out there. And eventually, far beyond the little wage that he'd be receiving from being a newspaper carrier, he'd be potentially receiving some larger donations from his customers. I remember every morning up at 5:30, out the door, needing to have the route completed by 6:30. Those are the rules. And I noticed that everybody handles the news differently. I would, from time to time, see the news pile up on the front step, and then, of course, would be the others that would actually be waiting at the door in those early mornings for me to deliver the news to them because they were anxiously waiting for the arrival of the news. In Luke chapter 2, there's a lot of similarities. Appreciate some of the similarities. There were people on that day that first news was delivered, disregarded, and just kind of added to their reading and reflection list. And there were others that acted immediately upon the good news, the shepherds being included. It's still the same today when we think about those primary messages of Christmas. Good news that will cause great joy for all people. We're handed the reminder of that news even again in this passage here today. The good news that day was that Jesus, one and only human source of joy, was born into this world. And in our meeting and knowing a growing relationship with him, he will cause great joy. That's good news. That's relevant news. See, joy is something that Jesus causes, and it's based upon the truth of who he is and how he deeply cares for us as individuals. Joy is not something we strive for, search for. Jesus causes joy to happen in a person's life, and that is truth for us here today. Number two, joy is to be differentiated from our experiences of happiness. Let me explain. If we are aspiring to connect with happiness, again, don't want to sing the blues, we have very little chance. A philosopher defined happiness as the experience of pleasure and absence of pain. Sounds like a good happening within a person's life. Therefore, based upon that definition that I believe we all would agree, since pleasure and pain are our responses to certain conditions, the pursuit of happiness then requires controlling our conditions for the increase of pleasure and the reduction of pain. Happiness. Of course, this is where we run into a bit of interference or impasse. There is only so much as individuals we control. And eventually, as is the case in every human, we are confronted with reality that we do not have a sovereign control over our lives. And the attempt to control life in the pursuit of happiness has left many heavy laden and burdened. This is why, and this has been the human narrative forever. So while Jesus walked the earth some 2,000 plus years ago, he saw mankind struggling as they carried burdens and concerns that they were never meant to carry. So he says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Yes, we are encouraged in Scripture to put a name on our real concern, but we're not to keep it there in the naming and in the living. We are then, as according to Scripture, we are to come to Jesus for the transferring and to find a grace for the hour and the day and the circumstance. Philippians 4:4, good counsel, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. See, joy and rejoicing are paired words in the New Testament. Joy is not happiness. Joy is foundational to a life that includes and at the center is found rejoicing. There's all kinds of things that are happening to us and all around us, yes, that may be difficult. And we are not being asked to deny what is hard, but we should note that happiness and joy are as different as an apple and an orange. And we can't let our happenings sabotage our joy. The Greek language provides a central word for joy, and it's called chara. It's a cousin to charis, which is the New Testament word for grace. We receive the good news about Jesus, and he, Jesus, causes great joy. And joy begins to happen to us, rather than us being bumped around and burdened by the interplay of all different circumstances that come our way, centered perhaps as followers of Jesus, as he causes joy to take place within our lives. Thirdly, there is such a thing as greater joy. The angels announced great joy given to us. Great joy. What is great joy? There's only a few certain times in the Bible that we read about great joy. And the word great associated to joy is the word megalen. And it refers to a mega joy, or a maturing joy, or an ever-increasing joy, in the sense that joy is not static, as our experiences of a happening, which has a beginning and an end. Joy has a beginning in Jesus, but does not have an end. It's not static. It has the potential to grow day by day, a moment by moment. Mega joy is witnessed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. For example, in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 3, during a time when the Israelites were dedicating the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem after exile, this was said: after they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. God caused great joy as they rebuilt and reset themselves in a healthy, regrowing relationship. The same word for great joy is seen after the day of the resurrection of Jesus. Matthew 28, worded this way: the woman who departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Again, the word great joy is an adjective that describes something that has grown into existence or grown into fullness. It's a mega joy. It's a joy that's growing up, maturing joy, a joy caused as people benefit from the grace and restorative work that God does in a person's life. So again, great joy. Nehemiah, the shepherds in our text today, and those witnessing the beautiful transformation of life because of the resurrection, witnessing and experiencing and being caused to have great joy. God will cause great joy, the mega joy of God redeeming a life and a person's narrative. Mega joy is sustained as one discerns by faith the unsurpassable gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and it trusts, even in defiance of painful circumstances, that nothing can prevent any last promise of God to come to complete fulfillment. And number four, finally, this great joy is for all people. Now think about that. All people. All people. Now zoom out and think about the narratives in our world today. The joy that Jesus wants to cause is in the hearts and lives of all people in our world today. Now, just for a moment, think about some of the experiences and situations that people find themselves in this very day. Now let your mind travel. Turn your ear and attention to the images that you've recently seen in the news. Pay attention in this moment to stories of family and friends where things are hard today. And into the midst of those situations, all situations, Jesus says, I want to cause joy for all people. Things happening in our world today are troublesome. I repeat myself, things happening in our world today are troublesome. But again, we're not talking about what is happening based upon happiness. We're talking about joy, an apple and an orange. I think, now you may beg to differ on this, but I think that joy, as based and discovered in Luke chapter 2, I think joy is so foreign and misunderstood that we often, when sensing joy, even if that ever happens, when we sense it rising in our hearts and minds, we sabotage it. I call them triggers that surface and bring to pass thoughts and experiences that sabotage great joy. For example, things that trigger us or perhaps trigger sabotaging joy. Questions like, how can I be joyful when there are so many tragedies and heartaches in the world? How can I be joyful when I have so many unanswered prayers, unexpected events happening, and I sense such uncertainty about my future? How can I be joyful when I know that I will be singing the blues once again in such a short period of time? No doubt, it's very difficult and actually impossible to authentically connect with great joy or mega joy when our hearts and our minds are conflicted. Patrick Morty says, it's a sign of health as a human being, not madness or being Scrooge, to be able to acknowledge and sit with contradictory emotions. We can embrace both hopes and loss, so be kind to yourself by expecting to feel a wide variety of emotions and not judging your own ambivalence. This is good advice for emotional health. But mega joy and greater joy is what leads to spiritual health and ultimately emotional health. So joy digs a bit bigger underneath us and examines us a little bit more on a deeper level. Joy in the Bible is a gift we receive that affects our emotions and not the other way around. That's why, again, Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. Joy doesn't lead us full circle back to happiness. Joy leads us deeper into a relationship with Jesus that ultimately grows and matures and becomes mega joy, causing us to naturally overflow and are rejoicing because of a relationship with Jesus, not happiness. During times when we are full of fear and doubt, times when we sit with unanswered prayer, unexpected events occurring, an uncertain future, we realize that we need to find a better way. And joy is this way. Joy does not come from our satisfaction with our present material possessions, our advantage, our security, however we would define that. Joy comes from rejoicing in Jesus. I mentioned earlier a missions trip. We did get on it and go on it, and we did find a way to get myself and Lucas to Uganda. And it was on this trip, of course, many experiences. One of my memories is associated to the discovery of joy in Kampala, Uganda. We attended quite a large church in the center of Kampala, Uganda. And we were pleasantly surprised as the singing began to learn that we would now begin to witness a baptism. But this was no ordinary baptism of a few. We witnessed 60 people being baptized. And as the song played, "I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind." Perhaps some of you would remember that as a very popular Christian song. It still touches my heart because I associate it with Uganda. That was a moment in my life when I experienced people's joy. Again, the context. People that were being baptized, to my knowledge, few had material possessions. Many were carrying unanswered prayers. Many had an uncertain future. Many were experiencing unexpected events. Many of those people being baptized did not have a lot of necessarily good things happening in their life. But they weren't talking about happening, what was happening. They were talking about Jesus and how Jesus had changed their life. And because of that, they knew a mega joy. And friends, in that room, it was giddy with life. It was unusual for me. It was, in some ways, a few times, a little uncomfortable. There was so much evidence of joy being shared verbally, reflecting in smiles on people's faces, and the abundance of healthy emotions as people appreciated deeply all that Jesus was doing within their life. He was restoring people, and we saw 60 plus examples of how Jesus changes people's lives. Joy, unspeakable joy. And it was that same message that the angels brought in Luke chapter 2, some 22,000 plus years ago. Jesus followed up after his birth, maturing, and public ministry. In John chapter 15 and chapter 16, these words are recorded. "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And he also said, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full," that you would experience mega joy. Joy is a gift that we receive from Jesus. And that gift is available for all of us today. There is a familiar hymn that we sing at Christmas, and it's called "Joy to the World." Joy for the world, joy to the world. You ever thought about that? Joy to the world. It's coming at the world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And in his coming, he offers joy. Let earth receive her king, joy. Let every heart prepare him room. That would be my prayer for you today, that you would prepare him room. And I believe as we prepare him room, that we will be wonderfully and beautifully surprised at the mega joy that Jesus will bring to us as he comes into our hearts, he comes into our minds, he comes into our lives, and he causes great joy. What a beautiful gift for us this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the many gifts of Christmas. Lord, I pray today that you would help each one of us to lift our eyes to the source of the one who invites us today to receive mega joy. Lord, we look nowhere else today. We do carry concerns for the things that are happening in our world, things perhaps that are happening in people's lives as we gather during Church Connect today. Bring your grace and bring your strength to help us carry on. But today we pray for one another for joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let every heart prepare him room. We do that today, Lord Jesus. We make room for you and for the supernatural way that this Christmas you hope to bless us with joy. In Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. And again, as I said earlier, Merry Christmas and may joy be in your world today. God bless you.